By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to our early morning program broadcast from the UK, Arise and shine. Viewers of Mother Channel, before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We give you these blessings, and the intention in giving you these blessings is that you also make it part of your routine. You become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Not only do you become habitual, but you understand the blessings of it, and maybe by understanding the blessings and seeing the blessings, you recite it more. And at the same time, I request you to remember these blessings, so that you can pass these blessings on to others as well, so that hopefully other people can become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak, and you can get the blessings as well. So the blessing that we're going to give you today is narrated that Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala was narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam has said that the one who recites Salat Durood-e Pak upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, Allahu Akbar, for just this, for 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening. Before I give you the blessing, tell me, how long would that take? 10 times, how long would it take? 1 minute? 1 minute of your time in the morning, 1 minute of your time in the evening. Let's say 2 minutes of your time in the morning and 2 minutes of your time in the evening. Out of all the minutes in a day, for them 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he will be granted, that person will be granted the intercession of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, we should take up this beautiful, beautiful offer that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us, that a person who recites Durood-e Pak just 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, he will be granted the intercession of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. On that day when nobody will be of any help to you, your mother, your father, your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, there will be no help to you. But on that day, inshaAllah azawajal, the beautiful Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be there to intercede for us and help us on that day. So viewers of Mother Channel, please make an intention to recite as much Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make it part of your daily routine. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And as you know, on Rise and Shine, every morning we begin the morning as we should begin every morning. And I pray that we begin every morning this way, be it at home, when we're leaving for work, whatever way. We begin the morning by having some recitation of the Holy Quran. Let's have some recitation of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
قل انما انذرکم بالوحی ولا يسمع الصم الدعاء اذا ما
تم فرماؤ کہ میں تم کو صرف وحی سے ڈراتا ہوں اور بہرے پکارنا نہیں سنتے جب ڈرائے جائیں
وَلَئِن مَسَّتْهُمْ نَفْحَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّكَ لَيَقُولُنَّ يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ
اور اگر انہیں تمہارے رب کے عذاب کی ہوا چھو جائے تو ضرور کہیں گے ہائے خرابی ہماری بے شک ہم ظالم تھے
وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا
اور ہم عدل کی ترازویں رکھیں گے قیامت کے دن تو کسی جان پر کچھ ظلم نہ ہوگا.
وَإِن كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا,
اور اگر کوئی چیز رائی کے دانے کے برابر ہو تو ہم اسے لے آئیں گے.
وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ,
اور ہم کافی ہیں حساب کو.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ الْفُرْقَانَ وَضِيَاءً وَذِكْرًا لِّلْمُتَّقِينَ,
اور بے شک ہم نے موسیٰ اور ہارون کو فیصلہ دیا اور اجالا اور پرہیزگاروں کو نصیحت.
الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب وهم من الساعة مشفقون,
وہ جو بے دیکھے اپنے رب سے ڈرتے ہیں اور انہیں قیامت کا اندیشہ لگا ہوا ہے.
وهذا ذكر مبارك انزلناه,
اور یہ ہے برکت والا ذکر کہ ہم نے اتارا.
افأنتم له منکرون,
تو کیا تم اس کے منکر ہو.
ولقد آتینا ابراہیم رشدہ من قبل وکنا به عالمین,
اور بے شک ہم نے ابراہیم کو پہلے ہی سے اس کی نیک راہ عطا کر دی اور ہم اس سے خبردار تھے.
اذ قال لأبيه وقومه ما هذه التماثيل التي انتم لها عاكفون,
جب اس نے اپنے باپ اور قوم سے کہا یہ مورتیں کیا ہیں جن کے آگے تم آسن مارے یعنی جم کر بیٹھے ہو.
قالوا وجدنا آباءنا لها عابدين,
بولے ہم نے اپنے باپ دادا کو ان کی پوجا کرتے پایا.
قال لقد كنتم انتم وآباؤكم في ضلال مبين,
کہا بے شک تم اور تمہارے باپ دادا سب کھلی گمراہی میں ہو.
قالوا اجئتنا بالحق ام انت من اللاعبين,
بولے کیا تم ہمارے پاس حق لائے ہو یا یوں ہی کھیلتے ہو.
قال بل ربكم رب السماوات والأرض الذي فطرهن وأنا على ذلك من الشاهدين,
کہا بلکہ تمہارا رب وہ ہے جو رب ہے آسمانوں اور زمین کا جس نے انہیں پیدا کیا اور میں اس پر گواہوں میں سے ہوں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اللہ اکبر. Now viewers on the channel, we just heard some verses of the Quran which were talking about the day of judgment on that day, and you know the pictures and the scenes that were shown on the screen, you know that is just an example. Really, the day of judgment will be more scary than that, more fearful than that. On that day we are told that, you know, we'll be drowning in our own sweat, and we need to live our lives in such a way that, you know, on that day our good deeds come forward to save us. I studied engineering at university, and I later became a software engineer. But part of the engineering process is where the instruments that you use to measure things, they are calibrated on an annual basis. Some are calibrated every 6 months, some are calibrated every 12 months. And what is this calibration? This calibration makes sure that the instrument, the thing that it is measuring it correctly. It's not under measuring it, it's not over measuring it. For example, if something is there to measure electricity, the volts or the amps, that it is calibrated to make sure that this meter is working properly, that it's giving an accurate reading, that it is doing what it is supposed to do, that it is fulfilling its purpose and giving an accurate measurement of the electricity. We check ourselves to make sure that we are doing what we are supposed to do, that we're doing what we're designed to do, what we are made to do, what Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us to do. Recalibrate ourselves to our deen, or improve our connection to our Rabb. And in improving our connection to our Rabb, to our Lord, there are many, many other things that we need to improve our connection to. We need to improve our connection to the Holy Quran, the book that was revealed to the whole of mankind. And by improving that connection, by recalibrating ourselves with the Quran, then inshallah azwajal, ultimately we're recalibrating ourselves with our Rabb. We come back to the house of Allah azwajal, that house, the house of Allah azwajal, the fortunate ones that are there. And this is the thing that we need to remember, that those people that go to the house of Allah, they are the fortunate ones. We reconnect ourselves to the masjid, and through reconnecting ourselves to the masjid, we reconnect ourselves to our salah, and ultimately we reconnect ourselves to our Rabb. So today, viewers of the channel, we're going to talk a little bit about our connection, our love for the masjid. Does it really exist? And we need to be honest with ourselves, because whatever we talk about on Madani channel, unless we are honest with ourselves, unless we assess ourselves and be honest with ourselves, that are we in that position or not, then we can never move forward. You can never, you know, try to change the diet of someone who does not believe he's got cholesterol. You can never change the diet of someone that doesn't believe he has any diabetic problems, that he has any sugar problems. Only if he realizes that he has this problem will he do something about it. And so in the same way, we need to ask ourselves, do we have a connection with the masjid? Do we have that love with the masjid? And maybe, viewers of the channel, that love, that connection that we don't have. Now, if you have it, if you go into the masjid 5 times a day, if you feel comfortable in the masjid, marhaba. But if not, then we need to ask why. And today, inshallah, in this program, we're going to try and discuss some of the reasons. Maybe we don't understand the importance of the masjid. Maybe we don't understand the manners of the masjid. Maybe we don't understand what our connection is with the masjid. And maybe we also don't understand why we don't have that connection with the masjid. So inshallah, in today's short program, we're going to discuss some of these topics. But for now, inshallah, all of the viewers on the channel, you know that on Rise or Shine, after the talawat of the Quran, we have the mashallah, the daily kalam, inshallah. So we're going to go to the daily kalam now, and then inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
حقیقت سے تمہاری جز خدا اور کون واقف ہے کہے تو کیا کہے کوئی چنی تم ہو چنا تم ہو چنا تم ہو اے ختم رسل مکی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں اے ختم رسل مکی مدنی کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں سم تیرے سوا
اے نور مجسم تیرے سوا
محبوب خدا کا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
اے نور مجسم تیرے سوا محبوب خدا کا کوئی نہیں کوئی نہیں
اے نور مجسم تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
سارے اچھوں سے اچھا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اچھے سے اچھا ہمارا نبی
تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
سارے اونچوں سے اونچا سمجھیے جسے ہے اس اونچے سے اونچا ہمارا نبی
تم سا کوئی نہیں
سب سے اول سب سے آخر ابتدا ہو انتہا ہو اے وسیلے سب نبی تم اصل مقصود خدا ہو سب تمہارے در کے راستے ایک تم راہ خدا ہو
تم سا کوئی نہیں تم سا کوئی نہیں
پائے گئے
آصاف تو سب نے پائے گئے
پر
حسن سراپا کوئی نہیں،
پر حسن سراپا کوئی نہیں،
آدم سے جناب عیسیٰ تک،
آدم سے جناب عیسیٰ تک،
سرکار کے جیسا کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
آدم سے جناب عیسیٰ تک،
سرکار کے جیسا کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
اے ختم رسل باقی مدنی، کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
اسی آقا مداوا کون کرے،
اسی آقا مداوا کون کرے،
اے رحمت عالم تیرے سوا،
اے رحمت عالم تیرے سوا،
دکھیوں کا مسیحا کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
اے رحمت عالم تیرے سوا، دکھیوں کا مسیحا کوئی نہیں،
کوئی نہیں،
کوئی نہیں، اے ختم رسل باقی مدنی، کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
ہو جائے اگر ایک چشم کرم،
ہو جائے اگر ایک چشم کرم،
محشر میں ہماری لاج رہے،
محشر میں ہماری لاج رہے،
شافع محشر تیرے سوا،
شافع محشر تیرے سوا،
بخشش کا وسیلہ کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
شافع محشر تیرے سوا، بخشش کا وسیلہ کوئی نہیں،
کوئی نہیں،
کوئی نہیں، اے ختم رسل باقی مدنی، کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
یہ شان تمہاری ہے آقا،
یہ شان تمہاری ہے آقا،
تم عرش بری پر پہنچے ہو،
یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری،
مقرب ہے بے شک خلیلو، نجی بھی بڑی شان والے کلیم ہو، مسیح بھی
کلا
بکا عرش سے بھی جو آگے، وہ سلطان کل انبیاء آپ ہی ہیں،
یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری،
میرے نبی پیارے نبی، ہے مرتبہ بالا تیرا، جس جا کوئی پہنچا نہیں، پہنچا وہاں تلوا تیرا،
یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری، یہ شان تمہاری،
یہ شان تمہاری ہے آقا، تم عرش بری پر پہنچے ہو، ذیشان نبی ہے سب، لیکن معراج کا دولہ کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
ذیشان نبی ہے سب، لیکن معراج کا دولہ کوئی نہیں،
کوئی نہیں،
کوئی نہیں، اے ختم رسل باقی مدنی، کونین میں تم سا کوئی نہیں، کوئی نہیں،
کوئی نہیں۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Peace be with you. Today we are talking about our connection, our love for the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the love for the masjid. In our lives, we interact with people. We go and visit people, and people come and visit us as well. People come to our house. But when people come to your house, there are different types of guests that we have. There's the one type of guest that we have that, to be honest, we don't want him to be there. He's come, and really we don't want him to be here. You know, we made a mistake in opening the door, didn't we? We didn't want him to come in our house. We don't value him. You know, we don't want him to come in our house because we just don't like it. And so them are the sort of people that you avoid. You try and avoid in meeting them on a daily basis. You try and avoid going to their house, and you try and avoid them coming to your house. And if they do come to your house, then, you know, if you have to go through the formalities of giving them a cup of tea and biscuits or whatever it is, you'll do it very, very quickly because you want to get rid of that person. Yeah, you don't want him there. And you'll do everything for him not to be there, to the extent that you look through your little hole in your door and you won't even open the door for them. Yeah. So there's that sort of guest that you have that you don't even want to open the door to. You don't want them coming to your house. Then there's another type of guest that you have that when they come to your house, you don't mind them being there, but you don't want them to be there for a long time. So again, you'll go through the formalities. Tea, they've come, okay, fine enough. Let's give a cup of tea, let's give a biscuit, whatever it is. And then you start looking at your watch. And you start, you know, I've got to go somewhere. You start making excuses. Or you'll pick up the phone. Yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Yeah. It happens so many times where people will pick up the phone. Okay, yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes. That's a message for the guest that, look, you need to leave now because you're going to be somewhere in 10 minutes. So that's the second type of guest. That you don't mind them coming to your house, but you don't want them staying long. And they will not stay long in your house. You'll find a way to get rid of them. You'll find a way to get them out of the house. You know, you'll give them subtle messages that they need to leave as soon as possible. Then there's the third type. Now, this is the type that if this person comes to your house, you're happy. You're so happy that this person has come to your house. And on purpose, you delay the formalities. You delay the tea. You delay the biscuits. Yeah? And so you delay giving that cup of tea so you can have that blessing of that person that's there. You'll sit there with them. You'll talk with them. You'll listen to them. You'll watch them. Yeah? And you're happy. You're so happy that this person has blessed you that you've come to their house. And so you'll serve them the tea and the biscuits and you'll make them stay there. And even if they come to the point where they say, you know, I need to leave now. No, just stay a little bit longer. A little bit longer. There's no rush. Stay here. Don't worry. Stay here. We're bringing something with you. She's made something special. Let me just give you that first before you go. But she's made it specially for you. So you're convinced. And that person will do everything to convince you to stay there that little time longer. So these are the three types of guests. The first one, that we don't even want to open the door. And we look through the little eye hole in the door and we think, you know, forget this, and we don't open the door. The second one, who comes to our house, but we don't want them staying there long. Okay, it's okay, you can come. I don't want you staying there a long time. But then there's the third one, that when that person comes to your house, you don't want them to leave. You want them to stay there as long as possible. Allahu Akbar. The house of Allah. What kind of guest are we? What type of guest are we in the house of Allah? Does Allah give us the ability, the tawfiq, the opportunity to enter His house? As we heard in the Quran that Ya Rasulullah, the Akhiri Nabi, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, call us. Without that calling, we cannot go. Without the permission of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will not be able to go to Medina. In the same way, in any house of Allah, unless we get that call, unless Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us the ability, the tawfiq, the permission to enter that house, we will not enter that. So ask yourself, are you that guest in the house of Allah that you can't even go there or you don't go there? Or are you that guest in the house of Allah when you go there, you quickly want to get out? You're constantly looking at your messages, or you're looking at your phone, you say, oh yeah, I've got to be there in 5 minutes. Oh yeah, I've got to be there in 10 minutes. Oh yeah, I've got to be there. And so you quickly read your namaz. Yeah, you've done the formalities. You've done what you need to do, and you get out as soon as possible. You're not going to sit for any dars. You're not going to sit for any tilawat of the Quran. You're not going to sit for anything. You're going to go. The formalities that you have to do, you will sit there. Or are you that guest in the house of Allah that when you get there, You feel relaxed. You feel comfortable. You want to stay as long as possible. You want to stay as long as possible. And you feel that comfort there. You feel that I'm happy here. I'm at school here. I'm at peace here. And I want to stay in this house. So that's the first thing that we need to do, viewers of Mashallah. We need to assess our connection, our love for the masjid. And if, unfortunately, we are amongst those people that do not enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla on a regular basis, then we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned because ultimately it's something that we've done wrong. We have done something wrong that Allah Azza wa Jalla has not given us the ability to enter the house of Allah. I remember there was a story once where a person, he was traveling on foot basically back to the Hajj and back from the Hajj. And he was traveling and he made some money and then he got a bus and then he got a train. So he wasn't on foot, but it was basically, he was stop-start. So he would make a certain journey, then he would make some money there, earn some money, then he'd get a bus or he'd get a train or whatever it was. I remember reading about him, and once he was coming back from the Hajj, and he'd got as far as Europe. And when he got to Europe, in Europe what happens, a lot of people, they thumb the lifts. You know, the people will give them a lift. They hitchhike. So he was stood at the side of the road, and he's thumbing for a lift, hitchhiking for a lift. And no lift, nobody was stopping to give him a lift. And then it started to rain. And again, nobody took pity on him, and he's asking for a lift, give him a lift. Eventually what he did is, he got off the road, came down the side embankment of the road, and went to a stream. There he performed the wuzu, and he performed 2 rakat nafal. And he raised his hands, and he said, Ya Rab, what have I done wrong? Because Ya Allah, without doubt I have done something wrong. Because you're not sending help to me. Ya Rab, whatever I've done, please forgive me. And he started to ponder and he started to think and think, is this what have I done wrong? And he was pondering and pondering all this time. And he's doing dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tears were coming from his eyes that, Ya Allah, what have I done wrong? And he started to think of all the things that he could possibly have done wrong. And he repented from all of them in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. He did the Ameen. He went up to the road. And in his own words, within a minute, somebody had stopped there to give him a lift. Allahu Akbar. If we are not going to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, we are not have that connection, we are not going to the masjid. Why? Why are we not going to the house of Allah? Why are we not going to the masjid? We need to ask ourselves, what are our shortcomings? What mistakes are we making? What is our state? Are we such a filthy state that we have covered in sins from top to bottom? That we're covering a huge burden of sins that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not allowing us to come to the house? Allahu Akbar. If we are amongst those people, viewers of Manchana, then we need to ponder, we need to think, we need to ask ourselves, where are we going wrong? What is our state? And maybe, viewers of Manchana, we don't understand the status of the masjid. Maybe you don't understand the status, the respect of the masjid. And that may be why, another reason that we don't have this longing, because you need to have this longing as well to be able to go to the masjid. I remember once Rukni Shura, Abdul Abiba, he was asked that, Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses you with the opportunity to go to the blessed city of Medina on a regular basis. How is this possible? You know? And he didn't say, oh, because, you know, Allah's blessed with me money, Allah's blessed me with opportunities. He didn't say this. What he said was that you have to have this longing, this khwaish, this thirst inside you. That thirst needs to be there, that I want to go. That I want to be able to go to the city of Medina, that I want to be able to go there. Unless you have that thirst there, then that thirst will not be quenched. So we need to develop this thirst inside us for the house of Allah. We need to develop this thirst inside us, this quench inside us, that unless we go to the house of Allah, the masjid, then that quench, that thirst is not fulfilled. We need to have that inside us. And I remember there was again another person who all his life, he spent time in the gym. He'd gone and he was lifting weights. And now he's quite old. He was 60 plus, right? He was 60 plus, but he still was doing the exercise on a regular basis. And when he was asked, why are you still doing this? And he replied, why do you still eat? And he said, well, obviously I need to eat. He said, well, for me, this is part of my food. This is my daily routine. So we cannot wait until we are 60 plus to get that connection with the house of Allah. We cannot wait until then. We need to have that connection now so that it becomes a part of our daily routine, no matter what. That our life revolves around that connection with the masjid, around that love with the masjid, around that attraction with the masjid. And we plan our daily routine around that. And when is that going to happen? If you think that, okay, at the moment, I don't read my namaz, but I've got a long time to live. Yeah, I'm only 20. I'm only 18. I'm only 25. I'm only 27. Yeah. When I'm about 55, 60, when I get close to that, you know what? Then you know what? I'll ease back and I'll start going to the masjid regularly. I'll start reading my namaz regularly. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll go and perform my hajj. I'll do all these things. Viewers of my channel, whatever ibadat you are going to do, you need to make a routine of it in your youth because it will become very, very hard for you later in life. And we mentioned there very quickly the hajj, that if you want to go, if hajj is farz upon you, don't wait for your age. As soon as hajj is farz upon you, go. Don't wait. Because as you get older, you'll get weaker. As you get weaker, you'll find it harder. And any ibadat that's done, think about all the ibadat that you can do on the hajj. If you're not strong enough, healthy enough to do that, then you'll miss out. So all of these things, what you do in your youth. You make these routines in your youth. Those people that are successful in life, they have a routine. And that routine starts at a young age. Getting up at a certain time. Sleeping at a certain time. Eating at a certain time. Going to the house of Allah Azawajal at a certain time. Making this part of your routine. And if you make it part of your routine at a young age, then inshallah Azawajal, that routine will stay with you. That connection will stay with you. And no matter where you are in the world, no matter where you are in the world, you automatically, you know, your GPS inside you, your internal GPS will look for the closest masjid. Your GPS inside you will look, where is the nearest masjid? I want to go there. I want to read my namaz there. And you'll have that inside you. But if we don't, then we need to question ourselves. And like I said, the example of that person, that he came off the road, came down the embankment, performed wuzu and sat there and said, Ya Rab, why? What have I done wrong? Ya Allah, what have I done wrong? Why don't I have the connection with the masjid? Why don't I want to go to the masjid like that person? He seems to be there every time. And I see him arriving early. He's not like me that arrives just before the Jummah Salat. He gets there 20 minutes before. He listens to the bayan, he listens to the khutbah. Why am I not like him? Ya Rab, what am I doing wrong? Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq. Ya Allah, give me the ability to come to your house. Ya Allah, give me the ability to have that connection. Without doubt, Ya Allah, I have sinned. Ya Allah, without doubt, I have heard. I have committed so many sins, but Ya Allah, please forgive me. And Ya Allah, rebuild that connection in my heart with the masjid. We need to have that connection with the masjid. And we need to ask ourselves that, what is our state? And maybe we don't understand, like I said earlier, on the status of the masjid. Number one is the house of Allah. It might be a small terraced house in your eyes, but it's the house of Allah. It might be a huge masjid that 5,000 people can stay in, but that and the small terraced house are both houses of Allah. And the reward for reading that namaz in that small terraced house, if it's a small terraced house, there's a masjid, in comparison to your four-bedroom detached house, because that is a house of Allah, the reward there is so much greater. If you read your namaz with jamaat, it's 27 times greater than the reward of you reading it at home. But before we even get there, there's another problem, isn't there? Do we even read our namaz at home? Are we them unfortunate souls that Allah Azza wa Jalla has not blessed us with the opportunity to even read our namaz on a regular basis? Now, if that is our state, then we have more to worry about. We should be more concerned. And we should ask ourselves why. You know, when a child thinks about this high, I'm guessing 7, 8, whatever you want to call it, 6, 7, 8, every Muslim child, male or female, will know at a very young age that namaz is fard, namaz is obligatory upon them. So if namaz is obligatory upon them, we know we have to do it. why we're not doing it. When it comes to other things in our life, we know that we have to do this. We have to do this. We have to turn up at work on the same time, right time. We have to do this work. We have to do that. We have to do these things. Otherwise, we'll lose our job and we will not be successful in this world. We know that we have to study for exams. We know we have to be, you know, get ourselves an education so that we can be successful in this world. In the same way that our salah is obligatory upon us, that education, you don't have to get it and you still may be successful. That job, you don't have to get that job and you still may be successful. But our salah is the key to our success. It is the only key to our success. We need to make sure that we have that key unlocked. We use that key to unlock and we perform our salah. And although we're unlocking the salah, that lock itself will lock our iman and protect our iman. So before we even have the love of the masjid, we have that connection of the masjid, we need to ask ourselves, where is our salah? What are we doing? Are we performing our daily five salah? And if not, why not? You can come up with a million excuses. And I'll reiterate this, excuses, because that's what they are. They are all excuses. We have no valid reason unless a doctor can give you a shari valid reason for you to miss your salah. And even then, there'll be things where if you can't stand up, then sit down. If you can't sit down, then lie down. If you cannot do the hands, then at least do the eye movement. So there's no excuse for you not reading your salah unless you're an insane, unless you're unconscious, and only in them conditions, or whatever the muftis guide us on, if there are any other conditions, them are the only conditions that we cannot perform our salah. But for the majority of us, the people that are watching this program now, the people that are going to work today, the people that will be coming home from work today, no excuse. No excuse for you not reading your five daily prayers. So we are lying to ourselves. And shaitan convinces us that we are right. I mentioned it once before, a few times before maybe, that I remember going seeing a solicitor and I was sat in his office and we were inviting him to the ishtima, we were giving him neki ki dawat, invitation to piety. And he said to me that, you know, when it comes, he was honest. He said that when it comes for salah, he said, I have a problem. So what's the problem? He said that I start to think to myself, have I got the time? Salatul Zuhr is going to take 15 minutes. I'm a busy person. I haven't got 15 minutes of my life. And he said, that shaitanic whisper causes me to miss my salah. He said, but the funny thing is, brother, that when I get a phone call, you know when you get a phone call and you see who it is, you think, oh, okay, yeah, 2 minute call. Yeah, and you say to someone, just give me 2 minutes, I'll sort this one out, yeah? And you know automatically by the person that is calling you how long that call will be. And you'll be able to judge that this is a 2 minute call, this is a 5 minute call, a 10 minute call. You'll be able to judge that. And he says, I'll get people calling me. And I know that it's a 5 minute call or it's a 2 minute call. And I take the call. Now, if that call goes on for longer, for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, even if that call goes on for an hour, I don't get frustrated. I don't get angry. But when it comes to using time for salah, then shaitan says to me, you haven't got the time. Why is it I've got time to take that phone call for an hour, but I haven't got time for the salah? And I said, brother, you need to ask yourself why. And that's what we all need to do. We need to ask ourselves, why? Why do I not have time for my salah? Why do I not have time to go to the masjid? I find time every day to go and get the milk and bread. I find time every day to fill up the petrol. I find time to do all of these things in my life. Why can we not make our routine revolve around the masjid? If on a daily basis you have to do certain things, you know that you have to go to the shops to get, let's say, bread and milk. Why not do it just before Zuhr or just after Zuhr, so that when I go out, at the same time I go and perform my Salatul Zuhr. Same with the other namaz. So you fulfill your daily routines, but at the same time you do this. I know that many taxi drivers, when the time for Salah comes, if a job comes, they look at the job, they look at where the job is, they look at where the job's going, and then they'll say to themselves, well, if I pick up this job and I take this person to this place, I'll be able to go to this masjid. Or they'll think, if I pick up this job and I go to this, then I'll miss my jamaat. So you know what? I won't take that job. And they make that decision. They make that decision that because I will miss my salah, I'll miss my jamaat, I won't even take this job. And they'll head towards the masjid and they'll go there and they'll have comfort. Those people views them on the channel. They have barakah, they have blessings in their income. Because what they have done, what have they done? They have put the masjid first and they put the income second. What we do, we put our income, our livelihood, our daily routines, our family, everything we put first, and right at the end, we put the masjid. Right at the end, we put our namaz. Right at the end, if we have got time, if we're there, if we're okay, if we're near a masjid, we'll read it. If not, we won't. And is this right? I don't have to answer that, do I? We all know the true answer, that that's not right. That's not right that we are not making time to go to the masjid. That is not right that we are not making time to read our salah. That is not right that we are rushing our salah and disappearing. It's not right. But we need to ask why. And maybe, like I said early on, we don't understand the manners, the adab, the respect, the status of the house of Allah. I'm just going to give you a few examples of the manners of the masjid so you'll understand the status of the masjid. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mulana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he was sitting in Itikaf during the month of Ramadan and it started to rain. It was raining quite heavily. And after Salatul Maghrib, after the iftari, a lot of people had gone home and he needed to perform wuzu. And because the rain was so heavy, he didn't want to go out to the masjid because the rain would be there and he would get very wet and he would get ill. But he also realized that he could not perform the wuzu inside the masjid because he didn't want water dripping on the floor of the masjid. Now that's something that we don't really care about. So he had this concern that what do I do? So what he did is his blanket that he had, that he was sleeping on, you know, imagine you have a blanket that he rolled it up, made it into basically a thick sponge. And on top of that, he sat on top of that and performed his wuzu so that the water went into his blanket and the water did not touch the floor of the masjid. And it said that all night, because he was sat on this wet blanket, he was shivering all night. But out of respect for the masjid, he didn't want any water going in the masjid. That respect views of masjid, the adab of keeping the masjid clean is so important that we need to understand how important it is to keep our house, keep the masjid clean. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 125. And we enjoined strictly upon Ibrahim and Ismail to purify well my house for those who go around it and those who stay therein for itikaf and those who bow down for ruku and prostrate. Regarding this verse, views of the channel, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala said, it has become obvious that the masjid must be kept neat and clean. Filth and offensive smelly things must not enter the masjid. You know, your homes, they can get dirty, but the masjid should not get dirty. The masjid should always be clean. It is a house of Allah and it is our duty to clean it. You know, this is again the adab of the masjid. If we realize what a great honor, what a great state it is to clean the house of Allah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that undoubtedly no such things as filth, urine and stool are permissible in the masjid. The masjid is there for the recitation of the Quran, zikr of Allah and for salah. And it has been stated in another place, build masjid and remove dust from them. Because the person who builds a masjid for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, Allah will build him a house in Jannah. A person humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, should masjid be built at public roads? And it was replied, yes. And to wipe dust from it is a dower for the Huran and the heavenly maidens. That is your haqmer for the maidens of paradise if you remove the dust. Because if you have a masjid on the main road, then dust will come in. Remove that dust. Keep that masjid clean, no matter where it is. And from this we realize the blessings of building a masjid, the blessings of keeping a masjid clean by removing the dust. This is the reward that you will get. Why am I telling you all these views of masjid? So that you understand the status of the masjid. You understand the reward in keeping the masjid clean. You understand the status of the masjid. And hopefully, if we understand the status of the masjid, then inshallah, azza wa jal, we can have a connection of that masjid. Views of masjid, we're going to take a small break, inshallah. So you're going to go to the reminder of the day. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the respect of the masjid and the state of the masjid, and hopefully we can build a connection with the masjid as well. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
حجت الاسلام سیدنا امام محمد بن محمد بن محمد غزالی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی has stated, advising people to do good deeds and preventing them from bad deeds is the greatest pillar of Islam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, on the day of judgment, people will be extremely horrified. There will be no shade other than the divine arsh in the plane of resurrection. Allah will grant the shade of his arsh and entry into heaven his obedient and distinguished bondmen, including the Islamic brothers and sisters conveying the call to righteousness and preventing evil, as is obvious from the following narrated saying. Allah Azza wa Jal sent revelation to Sayyidina Musa ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. One who commanded goodness and prevented evil and called people towards obedience to me would be in the shade of Arsh. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madani channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the program broadcast here from the UK every morning. And today we're talking about our love, our connection to the masjid. And early on we talked about, you know, what type of guest are we? Are we that person that, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't want us to come? Allah Azza wa Jalla does not give us the ability, the tawfiq, the opportunity to enter his house. Are we that guest that when we come to the house, we come there and, you know, we want to leave as soon as possible? Or are we that guest that when we go there, we want to stay there as long as possible? And we find it hard to leave there and we want to stay there as long as possible. But we also talked about the status of the masjid. And the fact that how important it is to build masajid, to keep the masjid clean. It is stated, viewers of my channel, that there was a woman who would clean one of the masjids in the blessed city of Medina. And she passed away, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a palm informed about her death. And one day the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing by and he saw her grave and he said, whose is this grave? And the blessed companions humbly replied that this is the grave of Umme Mejan. Now the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is she the one who would clean the masjid? And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is her. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gathered the companions, he made them to stand in a row, and he performed the funeral salah in front of the grave. And then he spoke to the person in the grave. He said to her, that which work, which deed did you find most preferable? What did you do in your life that you found most preferable, most rewarding? And the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can she hear? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that she can hear as good as you. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and said to the companions that she has replied to me that the most preferable deed that she had was cleaning the masjid. Allahu Akbar. How many was clean the masjid? You know, I remember the views of the channel. I was on a kafla and I went to Fiji. Basically, they say that Fiji is probably the end of the world, so to speak. And we went to a masjid. And before we got to the masjid, the person that was with me said that in this masjid, every Thursday night, the taxi drivers of the town, they all have a rota. Right? And they have a rota that this week, these taxi drivers, this week, these taxi drivers, this week, these taxi drivers. And what would the rota be? That these taxi drivers on Thursday night would come and they would clean the masjid. And we got there quite late, I think it was like 11, 12 o'clock, and he said, they're probably finished now. They might have finished, they might not be, but more than likely, they'll have cleaned the masjid by now. And when we went into the masjid, and we saw that there were these young men sat there, and the brother said to me, these are the taxi drivers that have cleaned the masjid, and now they're just having, you know, they're just sitting together, and they're going to be leaving soon. And they would I think it was beautiful that they put this upon themselves that, you know, I want to clean the masjid. In the same way here in the UK, there is a Fazana Medina that every Thursday night, there is a certain brother. He works quite late. Because he works quite late, every week he cannot attend the weekly Ijtima. But one thing he does every week, no matter what time he finishes, he comes after work, he'll come to the masjid and he'll clean the whole masjid. Whether it's 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night, whatever time it is, He has requested, effectively begged the committee and said, brothers, please, nobody clean the masjid. I want to clean the masjid. I want to clean the masjid. Leave that duty to me. And so the brothers, they forgot about it. They said, he'll come whenever he comes. He'll come in the middle of the night and he'll clean the masjid. In the same way, there was another brother that outside the masjid, there was a lawn. And a person got the trimmer to cut the grass. And he started to cut the grass. And a brother said to him, what are you doing? And he said, I'm cutting the grass to clean the masjid. He said, please, only do half. Don't do it all. And he said, why? I've got the time. I'll do it all. I'll do it all. He said, no. Please only do half. And when he asked why, he said, look, leave the rest for me. I do it on a regular basis. Maybe I forgot to do it. Please forgive me. But please, don't do it all. Let me do it. But where is that passion, viewers of Manchamp? Do we have that passion? Do we have that love for the masjid that we want to go there? We want to clean the masjid. We want to purify the masjid. We want to make sure that there's no filth lying around in the masjid. And when we go to the masjid, if we see filth lying around, what do we do? If we see even strands of material on the floor on the carpet, what do? If we see any dirt in the masjid, what do? Ignore it. Or we might brush it away so it's not in front of me when I'm reading my salah. Amir al-Sunnah would keep a small plastic bag. He probably still keeps a small plastic bag. And if he sees any dirt, he puts it in the bag and then put it in his pocket. Purify the masjid, keep the masjid clean. If all of a sudden we see that the wuzu area, the toilet area is dirty, what do? We don't bother doing anything, do we? Not my problem, is it? The house of Allah. Make it your problem. Make it your problem. Do something about it. Purify the house of Allah. Keep the masjid clean. Enliven the masjid. Beautify the masjid. These are the things that we need to be done. We should keep our masjids neat and clean. It is stated in the blessed hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the one who loves the masjid, Allah makes him his beloved. Allah makes him his beloved. So if you ultimately, as a Muslim, what do we want to do? As a Muslim, our ultimate goal we know is to attain paradise. We all agree on that? I think we do. As a Muslim, our ultimate goal is to attain paradise. But how do we attain paradise? We are told here that we need to love Allah. We need to love Allah. And how can we gain that love? How can we gain that connection? Is by loving His house. By loving His house. By loving the masjid. By loving the masjid, then we can attain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the people who clean and perform worship and spiritual exercise by remaining in it are the very fortunate ones. The masjid is a beautiful blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. We are told the masjid is a strong fort to be protected against shaitan. That's what the masjid is. It's a place to protect our iman. To protect our iman. If we go to the masjid, then that gives us an opportunity to protect our iman. In the same way that we mentioned before, the locks of our iman. The masjid is a lock. We said that our salah is a lock, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to listen to what I have to say. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying the masjid is a fort. And what does a fort do? It protects the people that are inside it. From what? From what is outside? What is outside? The shaitanic whispers are outside. This dunya is outside. Its traps are all outside. All the sins are all outside. In the masjid, there is a fort to protect your iman. Now you may say, yes, there are those unfortunate people that also commit sins in the house of Allah. They are the unfortunate ones. This house of Allah, it is a fort for you to protect your iman. And we need to learn to love and respect the house of Allah. We need to enliven the masjid. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Tawbah, verse 18, only those enliven the masjid of Allah who believe in Allah and in the last day. Only those people will enliven the masjid who believe in Allah and believe in the last day. Now, what is enlivening the masjid? Maybe you're all getting your dictionaries out. You're thinking, I don't know. Allahu Akbar. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, stated in Tafsir Naimi, he said, remembering that there are 11 ways to enliven a masjid. 11 ways. Listen to this. Number one is building a masjid. Building a masjid. Viewers of the channel, Dawud Islam is taking it upon itself to build these masjids. And alhamdulillah, Worldwide, approximately 600 masjids are built every year around the world. 600 masjids, that's nearly 2 masjids every single day are being built across the UK. Here in the UK, we are increasing our masjids around the world. We have purpose-built masjids here, not very far from where we are in Leeds. There is a purpose-built masjid that is being built, and all the steelworkers, so please donate to these noble causes and help to build masjid. People, for Isa al-Sawab of the loved ones, they will build masjids in areas around the world from as little as £6,000, £5,000. You can build a small masjid in certain areas in Pakistan. Build these masjids and give them as Isa al-Sawab for you. For all the people that pray in that masjid, from now until the day of judgment, you will get the sawab. Your loved ones, if you pass the sawab on to them, they will get it. And also you will be amongst those people who enliven the masjid. So number one, building a masjid is a way of enlivening it. Number two is increasing it. Number three is extending it. Number four is renovating it. So all of these works which happen inside the masjid are part of enlivening the masjid. Number four is laying out carpets, mats, and floor spreads. So again, if you pay, if you donate towards the carpets or the chatai or whatever it is that you put inside the masjid, you will be amongst those people, Allahu Akbar, that enliven the masjid. Number six is painting it. Allahu Akbar. You know, alhamdulillah, in many, many masjids, they don't get contractors in to paint it. The namazi come and paint the masjid. But nowadays, that habit of the namazi, the people that come to the masjid, that painted the masjid, is starting to go. I remember there was a time that the local people, they would all turn up on a Saturday and say, we're painting the masjid. And they turn up in the clothes and they would get the ladders out and they paint the masjid. Nowadays, it's cheaper to pay a contractor. Or let's not say cheaper, easier to pay a contractor. But in doing so, you lose the reward of painting the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Adding lights and adorning it. Performing salah therein and reciting the Holy Quran in it. Establishing religious madaris in it. Visiting it frequently and calling out the azan and saying takbir for leading the salah. These are the things. These are the things that enliven the masjid. Are we amongst any of them? Are we amongst any of them? Do we partake in building a masjid, increasing in it, extending in it, renovating in it, laying carpets in it, painting it, adding lights and adorning it, performing salah therein, and reciting the Holy Quran in the masjid, establishing a madrasa in the masjid? Alhamdulillah, here in the UK, more than 4,000 children are studying in our Madrasatul Madinas in various buildings across the UK. Alhamdulillah, completely free of charge. And on that note, I request our viewers to remember Dawat Islami when you're calculating your zakat, and to remember Dawat Islami throughout the year when you spend your sadqa, your nafla in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are all going to noble causes. Visiting it frequently. How often do we visit the house of Allah? Was it every Friday? Was it? Did we even visit every Friday? Allahu Akbar. Or are we amongst those fortunate ones that we were there every day? Not only there every day, but there 5 times a day. Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah, make us amongst those people to be there every day, 5 times a day. Do we call out the azan? Fortunate are those people that call out the azan and the takbir for leading the salah, those fortunate people. And who are those people? What normally happens is in many masjids, you know, it'll be people that are regular there. They don't have a specific muazzin. The people that are regular there, they are the ones that are given the opportunity, that blessing of raising the azan. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nimi, with regards to that verse, he goes on to say, the yearning to construct a masjid or to fill it or to offer salat in it with jamaat is a sign of what? A sign of a true believer. A sign of a true believer is that, you know, maybe you're not able, we mentioned earlier on that you can build a masjid for as little as £6,000. But it doesn't mean to say that if you cannot pay £6,000 as a minimum, you can't be part of the construction of a masjid. One pence, whatever you have, give it. You know, there are people that put standing orders into the account of Dawat Islami, that every day 10 pence, and they put masjid, 10 pence every day, masjid, masjid, masjid. So every day they're donating this. Or for 10 pence, they'll donate to something else. Every day. What is a pound a day? Pound a day, you probably lose a pound a day. Put your sofa through the seat of the car. Pound a day. Donate something in the way of Allah and be amongst those people. But then he goes on to say, not only the yearning to construct a masjid, to offer salat in it with jamaat is a sign of a true believer. This is what we need to do. And you know, they say, what is the beauty of a masjid? What is the most beautiful masjid? And how is it beautiful? Is it beautiful because of the tiles that was imported from, I don't know, somewhere around the world? Is it because of the bricks, because they were imported? Is it because of the carpet, because it was a silk carpet, handmade, the beautiful carpet? Is it the chandelier, the lights? Is that what makes the beautiful masjid? No. The beauty of the masjid is you. You being there is the beauty of the masjid. The people that are in the masjid, the most beautiful masjid is the masjid that is full. So our job is to make the masjid beautiful. How? By going to the masjid. Yes, we need to spend on the masjid. Yes, as we heard early on, to enliven the masjid, putting lights in the masjid, putting carpets in the masjid, doing all these things, extending the masjid, making the beautiful masjid aesthetically, making the masjid pleasing to the eye. Yes, but at the same time, if we want to beautify the masjid, we need to go to the masjid. How sad is it that we spend £5 million on a masjid and yet how many people are there at Fajr? I've said it before, do we import and export Muslims on a daily basis? That on a Friday we import them and after that we export them and they disappear? No. Well, they are there. We are there. We need to have that connection with the masjid. We need to get ourselves back to the masjid to beautify the masjid. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break. Now we're going to go to the hadith of the day. Let's go to the hadith of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this topic. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Contributing towards the construction of the house of Allah, the masjid, or to ornament and beautify and embellish the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to benefit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, is a great act worthy of reward. And if we look at our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, they did such acts, subhanallah. In one narration, we're told that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala passed by the masajid in the month of Ramadan Kareem. This narration is in Kanzul Ummal. And he saw that oil lamps were lit in those masajid. And obviously this benefits the believers, this benefits the participants, the attendees of the masjid. So when he saw this and he looked at this, he made the following dua. May Allah Almighty illuminate the grave of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, just as he illuminated the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So partake in constructing masajid, beautifying masajid, embellishing masajid, benefiting the believers who come to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah your grave will also be illuminated. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program broadcast here in the UK from our Bradford studios. And today we're talking about our connection, our love of the masjid, and why we don't have that connection. If we have that connection, marhaba. If you're amongst those fortunate people that go to the house of Allah on a regular basis, on a daily basis, 5 times a day, the fortunate ones, the blessed ones, then marhaba. You know, I pray that we all become like you. But the majority of us don't have that. The majority of us don't have that connection. And unfortunately, we see it that people don't go to the house of Allah. And I remember I was in Pakistan a couple of years ago, and I saw something that I prayed that I'd never see again. And maybe people are going to say to me, oh, well, it happens all the time. But I've never seen it here in the UK, and I pray I never see it. I was in a masjid. It was a beautiful masjid, and it was during the month of Ramadan, and I was asked to do a small speech there just before iftari. So I went there, and you know, the masjid was reasonably full, say let's say 50% full, and I did the bayan there. The time for Maghrib was approaching, and at the back they were putting out all the sheets there for the iftari, and the people, they were putting the fruit or whatever food they were putting there. And being a rich area, then the iftari was, alhamdulillah, you know, expensive, so to speak, in comparison to a lot of other places. You know, there was, I think, a piece of chicken there and dates there and fruit there and all sorts of things. And so as the bayan, we finished the bayan and then we went towards the mat there, all of a sudden the masjid started to fill up. And it was packed. There was no space in the masjid. And I started to become so happy that, mashallah, you know, everybody's coming for Salatul Maghrib here and it's packed, you know. And there was no space. And the organizers then, that where we were previously, we were sitting listening to the speech, there they had to put the mats out for the food. And so the whole masjid now was full of people that were going to be sitting there for eating. And there was very little room now left at the front for the time for prayer. So what would going to happen was that we would have our iftar, then they would have to quickly clean up, and then we'd perform our Salatul Maghrib. So all these people were in there, and they were like literally at the back. It was as if there was a queue. But what happened was, as soon as the azan was given, or as soon as the announcement was made that you can open the roza, you can open the fast, people started eating, understandable. Started drinking, understandable. They broke the fast. Some people were doing the wa. But let's say, for argument's sake, there was 100 people there. There was a lot more, but I'm just talking from a percentage point of view. Let's say there was 100 people there in that masjid. 100 people sat at iftari. 100 people opened their fast in that masjid. But only 10 people performed Salatul Maghrib in that masjid. They all got up and left. Allah. How unfortunate are those people. That Allah Azza wa Jalla has called you to His house. Called you to His house. Given the ability to enter His house. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has not allowed you to pray in the house of Allah. Now, I've never seen that here. But what I have seen here, which is probably just as sad. Here in the UK, we have our Madrasatul Madina. And those of our UK viewers will know that Madrasatul Madina, or any madrasas here in the UK, are after school. You know, they're not during the day, they're after school in the evening, 5 to 7, 5 till 8, 6 to 9, whatever it is. And what happens is normally, say, during the winter months, at the end of the madrasa time, it'll be Salatul Isha. During the summer months, at the end of the madrasa, it might be Salatul Asr. So, at the end of the madrasa, when the madrasa finishes, the teacher brings all the children to the main hall, and there they read Salatul Asr, or there they might read Salatul Isha, or whatever namaz it is. What is really sad is that outside in the car park, there are parents, fathers are sitting in the car, waiting for their children to come out, but not coming in to read the Salat. Again, how unfortunate are they? That Allah Azza wa Jalla has enabled you to come into the car park of a masjid. Allah Azza wa Jalla has enabled you to get this close to the masjid. Yeah, the door of the masjid is there in front of you. You park your car right next to the door of the masjid so that when your child comes out, he sees you straight away. Everyone try to park as close to the masjid as possible. You know, there might be a huge masjid car park, but very few people park right at the back. They want to park as close to the door of the masjid as possible so that when the child comes out, they can find the car. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you that ability to park so close to the masjid. But you are not blessed to go into the masjid. Why? You need to ponder over that. And I remember also once that after Salatul Jummah, the Imam Sahib said, you know, that when he read, and he said, please, I request you all to stay behind and read the sunnats. And I thought, why is he saying that? Everybody stays behind, don't they? And I remember once I was literally on the front saf and the windows were there and we were on the second floor. And so I could see the car park there. And I remember that when I'm reading my sunnahs, I looked up and I saw that the car park was full of people. The car park was full of people. And when I finished my sunnahs and turned around, there was hardly many, you know, very few people there. Again, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you. Do you not realize how lucky you are that Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed you with the house of Allah? Blessed you with an opportunity to come to His house. And that shows we are amongst those people that will go there, will do the formalities and will leave. That is the type of guest that we are. That we're in the car park. We're in the masjid. I've also seen instances where the masjid will have a hall next door where the people will be sitting. When somebody has passed away, And they call it a puri, and some of the people might call it other things, where people are sitting there for condolences. The time for Jamaat comes and they don't come. You know, I know of a place where there's a masjid, there's a street. The street is what? 18 foot wide. And at the other place, there's a hall in which people sit there for the condolences. The time for Jamaat arrives. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not bless these people with the ability to walk across the street and enter the house of Allah to read the salah. Some of them don't even read the salah. They miss the salah completely. They are not blessed. Yet they are so close, yet so far. And we need to ask ourselves, why? Why are we amongst those people that are unfortunate enough, that are so unfortunate that we don't get that blessing? We're there, but we're not there. We're close, yet we're so far. How unlucky we are. You know, if you were to get that close to making £1 million and you didn't get it, how upset would you be? I'm so close. I was so close to getting it. You know, I just didn't do this. If I'd done that, I would have got it. And these little things you would say to, you know what, in the interview that I went, I didn't get the job because I just answered this slightly wrong. If I'd just tweaked that answer, I'm sure I would have got that job. I'm sure I would have got that promotion. I'm sure I would have made that sale if I just changed it a little bit. So close yet so far. I was so close, but I ended up with nothing. In the same way, so close yet so far. You're in the masjid at the time of iftari, but Allah Azza wa Jalla does not give you the tawfiq to read Salatul Maghrib. You're in the car park for Salatul Asr, but Allah Azza wa Jalla does not give you the tawfiq to go into the masjid to read Salatul Asr. You're in the masjid for Salatul Jummah, but Allah Azza wa Jalla does not give you the tawfiq to read the sunnahs afterwards. Allah, so close, yet so far. But are we worried? Are we concerned? No, we're not. We're not bothered. We're not sitting and saying, oh, you know what? He's right. We're not. And we need to ask ourselves, why are we not bothered? Why are we not concerned about our state? This is again the question that we need. Why am I not concerned about my state? Why am I not concerned that I am not amongst those people? Why am I not concerned that I get to the car park of the masjid, but I do not read my salah? Why am I not concerned that after Salatul Jummah, I'm rushing out of the masjid? Why am I not concerned about this? What is wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Ya Allah, what am I doing wrong? Ya Allah, guide me. Ya Allah, take these whispers of shaitan away from me. Ya Allah, enable me to love the masjid. Ya Allah, enable me to come back to the masjid. Like that person that I mentioned, that got off the road, went down the embankment, found a stream and read, and did wuzu and read salah to Nafal and said, Ya Allah, I have erred, I have made a mistake. Ya Allah, what have we done wrong? Without doubt, we have erred. Without doubt, we have made a mistake. But viewers of the channel, like I said right at the beginning, to make sure that we are doing what we are designed to do. Do what we are made to do it right. In the same way we recalibrate our meters, our voltmeters, our ammeters, our ohm meters, our pressure meters, whatever meters we recalibrate to make sure that they're reading what they should be reading and they're reading it accurately and they're reading it correctly. So recalibrate ourselves to the Quran, recalibrate ourselves to the Salah, recalibrate ourselves to the Jamaat, recalibrate ourselves to the Masjid. Bring that back. That love of the masjid. You know, viewers of the channel, I want to give you a few things regarding the manners of the masjid. If Allah Azza wa Jal blesses us with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, then we need to make sure that we also follow the adab. You know, you can walk into your house as dirty as you want, but not the house of Allah. So although I'm saying to you all today that you need to enter, you need to get that connection, you need to have that love of the house of Allah, at the same time I'm saying to you, that you need to make sure that you enter under certain conditions. You know, do not take raw meat into the masjid. You know, if you've gone to the shop and you bought some meat, don't take it in the masjid. That smell will be there, and we should not have that. Enter the masjid with a bad breath. It is haram to enter the masjid with a bad breath. You know, that's why we're told to use our miswak. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I did not realize it was a burden on my ummah, I would have made miswak fard upon you. To clean yourself, to purify your breath. These are the sort of things that we need to do to purify ourselves in the house of Allah. But at the same time, when we are in the house, we need to make sure that we don't do anything that is wrong. You know, we should purify ourselves. We should have a nice fragrance on us. We should wear nice clothes when we go into the house. You are going to the house of Allah. What sort of clothes should you be wearing? If the Prime Minister of this country was to invite you for lunch, what sort of clothes would you wear? When Allah Azza wa Jal has given you the ability to enter His house, what clothes do you wear? Do you put any ittar on, any fragrance on? Do you make a nice imam or nice clothes? This is what we should be doing. Viewers of the channel, we're just going to take a small break now. We have a fund promo. And inshallah, when we come back for the few minutes that we have, we're going to continue and trying to sum up this topic of our connection, our love to the masjid. Let's go to this promo inshallah, and when we come back, we'll continue. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e-Islami, it's arrived to rectify the people, it's all over the world.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, with your du'as and your support, we are nearly completing phase 2 project of Faizan-e-Madina Leeds. Behind me you can see the beautiful building, the brickwork completed. Now we've just got a few things to do and to make it watertight. The windows and the doors are to be installed, but we need your help. We need £250,000 to complete phase 2 of this project. So please come forward and help us and support us and build this house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember, an opportunity to please our Rabb Azza wa Jal and help the deen of Islam. So please come forward and donate into the bank details that you can see on the screen.
It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, before we continue with the topic of the day, I humbly request each and every one of you that when you are calculating your zakat and you're spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, obviously first and foremost, Amir Sunnah has mentioned it many, many times, that first and foremost, you need to give your zakat to your family members, your relatives that are liable, that can take zakat, give it to them, help them, support them in any way you can. However, if you don't have then family members that can take your zakat, then please remember your Dawat Islami when calculating your zakat. Here in the UK, we have 16 Jamaat al-Madinas, we have our Darul Madinas, we have our Madani channel here in front of you that's broadcasting live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Again, as you see, no advertisement, no sponsorship at all. We're not any subscription whatsoever. I remember when we first started Madani channel in the UK, at that time, a lot of people said we should have a subscription. Charge everybody £12 a month to watch Madani channel. But alhamdulillah, the brothers at that time, they made a decision that no matter what, we will not charge, we'll make it free to the public, alhamdulillah. And here, 11, 12 years on, Madani channel is still here. But obviously, it incurs a cost. All of this costs money, alhamdulillah. So please support your Dawat Islami, inshallah. And hopefully, this money will become a means of salvation for you on the day of judgment. Sadqa extinguishes your sins in the same way that water extinguishes fire. So please remember your Dawat Islami. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. Like I said, there are people there that are donating £1 a month. There are people there that are donating hundreds of pounds a month. And another beautiful way of setting up a way of donating in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla is if you get our money boxes. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has these money boxes that you can keep in your house. And every day you come home from work or in the morning you leave, you put a bit of money in there, and we're told that, if you spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then it averts calamities. So a lot of people, they make a habit that first thing in the morning, whatever change they've got, they'll put in there, and inshallah Azza wa Jalla, it'll avert calamities for you. So please spend in the way of Allah. A few things I want to mention with regards to the topic before we finish, that the masjid is a place that we need to respect. We need to build that love in the masjid, but in going in the masjid, we need to make sure that we respect it as well. Sayyidina Sa'id bin Yazid radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that I was lying in the masjid when someone threw a tiny piece of stone at me. I saw that it was Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, and he asked me to bring to him two men who were talking to each other loudly in the masjid. I did as he asked, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala asked them that, "Where are you from?" And they replied that, "We are from Taif." He said, "If you were residents of Madinatul Munawwara, I would definitely punish you because you raised your voices in the masjid of the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam." So keeping your voice down, respecting the masjid. According to another narration, it is said that a masjid headed towards the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla to complain To complain about what? To complain about the people engaging in worldly conversations inside them. Some angels met it on the way and said, we have been sent to ruin those people. So when you're in the masjid, respect the masjid. First and foremost, pray to Allah that you're amongst those people, that Allah blesses you with the masjid. But when you're in the masjid, respect it. You know, don't be sitting in there joking and laughing, talking about football, talking about politics, talking about this. You're blessed to go there. You know, if you go to the house of, you know, like I said, if you went to the house of the prime minister or you went to the house of a businessman, what would you talk about there? You talk about what he wants you to talk about. You won't say to him, oh, do you support football? You know, you won't do these things. There is a adab, there are manners in whichever gathering you are sat, wherever you are sat, your adab, your method of speech is as such. And in the same way, the house of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, there are adab that is speaking there. There is stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will come a time when people will engage in worldly talk in the masjid. Then at that time, you must not sit with them. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not care with them. So if you are in a masjid, we're told, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you see something wrong, try and stop it with your hand. If you cannot stop it with your heart, hand, stop it with your voice. If you cannot stop it with your voice, then at least in your heart, realize that this is wrong. So if you can stop people from talking out loudly in the masjid or joking in the masjid, stop them. If not, then stay away from them. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, worldly conversation in the masjid eats away good deeds in such a way as four-footed animals eat grass. Laughing in the masjid causes darkness in the grave. So again, fortunate people, but unfortunate people. So close, yet so far. That you are there, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with the opportunity to be there, but you don't read your salah. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you to be there, but you're not, instead of doing zikr of Allah, you're talking about worldly conversation. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you to be there, but instead of reading the Quran, you're joking and laughing with people. So close, yet so far. Ya Allah, make us amongst those people that love the masjid. Make us amongst those people that when we go to the masjid, we don't want to leave the masjid. Ya Allah, make us amongst those people that when we go to the masjid, we feel that we want to stay here as long as possible, but, you know, certain necessities, oh, I'm going to have to leave. Oh, I don't want to leave. Make us amongst those people. Viewers of my channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine today. We've been talking about our love for the masjid. We need to recalibrate ourselves. We need to check ourselves. We need to check where we are, what we're doing, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. We need to reconnect. Reconnect to the Quran, reconnect to the Salah, reconnect to the Masjid, reconnect to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of Madri Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end. And the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.